have your Bibles tonight, we want you to turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Felt like I had what the Lord would have me to preach for tonight, already under wraps. And this morning, driving down the road, he spoke to me about what he wanted me to preach tonight. And to be honest with you, it ain't done anything but got worse and worse bothering me ever since he spoke to me about what to preach tonight. So you pray for me, because I've only had this afternoon to really sit down and study it like I need to. Found the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 28. If you would stand and I, we'll read a few verses together. Seems like on Sunday night here lately, a lot of times sometimes the Lord gets us on a topic and we just have maybe Bible study 101. And we're all over the Word of God. And I feel like that's what He'd have us to do again tonight. Well, we'll start in Luke 19, verse 28. And when He had thus spoken, He went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when He was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. I want to say to some of you young people tonight, Lord has need of you. Amen. He's got some things that He wants to do in your life. And I believe in this church, He has some things He's got you staked out to do. That colt there, it was tied up for the Master's use. Nobody else had ever ridden on it. It wasn't going to buck wild. They ought to buck wild if one ain't been broken yet, right? But when the Lord gets on you, you'll get broke. It was just staked out for Jesus. I can see the little donkeys is kicking wild up there in the grassy hilltops, but not this one. He's just down there waiting on the Master to call him. And they came down there and got him, and the owner said, Hey, what are you doing with my colt? He said, The Lord has need of him. Oh, good enough then. That'll work. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. I'm telling you what, they were shouting it out. Here comes Jesus right there on that little old colt, and people's laying out their garments in the way. It's that little old colt walking upon it. What about that? And they begin to say, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. This is having one of them good old-fashioned cases of the can't help it. They're just praising. There he come, right down through the center, and they're praising. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. In other words, don't let this praise stuff get out of hand. Too much worship going on. Too much shouting. Too much crying. Too much testifying. We're against it. They had to pooch lip. Rebuke them. Stop it from getting out of the banks. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. In other words, if my disciples aren't praising me, them rocks down there, it's on the sides of the road, they're going to start crying out. Had been something. Tonight I want to preach this message. What if stones could talk? Wonder what we'd hear. Let's pray. Lord, tonight we ask that you'd help us to preach. If you've touched us to do so, I pray, God, you'd just bring what we studied back to our minds and to our lips. And pray, God, you'd give us that we've not studied. Lord, we're looking to you and trusting you for it. We ask tonight, God, your help with it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Driving down the road today, it's amazing. You sit down, you study, you study, you study, you study, you study. You finally get what you feel like God wants you to preach. And then you just simply go driving down the road, got right down here where the bypass comes right back there to Hardy's. And I looked over there, seen a whole bunch of people going there to get breakfast. I'd watched them on the golf course this morning out there golfing. Didn't care a thing in the world about coming to the house of God. They'd rather out play golf. And I'm sure they've seen bass boats flying by on their way to the lake. And nobody's concerned about it. Didn't seem like a whole lot of people was concerned about coming to church. And I was riding by Hardy's and seen people in there turn in to get their biscuits. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And I seen them big old rocks right there in front of Hardy's. And big old gray rocks. The Lord said, "Son, if them stones could talk, wonder what they'd say." Boy, I bet they could tell a lot of gossip going on in the Hardys. A lot of rumors that they've heard down there, them stones, if they could talk. They'd tell you how many people laid out of church to get breakfast and didn't come to church at all. They might tell you how good the biscuits smell down there. They might tell you about some of them good old cheeseburgers that they got, they put bacon on top of them. That's good. Them stones down there can tell you a lot of people going in and going out. A lot of goings on. And God began to speak to me and said, "What if the stones could talk?" You know, the Lord, He walked on a lot. He walked everywhere He went. A lot of stones He walked on. A lot of stones He come in contact with in a lot of places. And if those stones could talk, y'all, I'm wondering what they'd say. In fact, in front of my house, I keep this little old rock here. It says, "If you won't praise the Lord, I'll cry out." I put that in front of my house because if I don't praise Him, this rock will. I don't need no rock shouting for me. God give me a soul that He saw fit to save. He's blessed me. He's been good. Much better than I deserve. And I sure, if I want to stub up and flub up and say, "Well, I can't do it, I can't talk, I can't do this, I can't do that," well, I'm going to tell you what, this rock's done testified. He's going to cry out and praise the Lord when I fail to. So with God being my helper tonight, I plan on testifying just a little bit. Amen. And praising Him. Amen. Amen. Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 4. And I want us to see some stones. There's 10 of them. Number one, some stones of God's guidance on the Mount of Temptation. There'll be times you're tempted. Jesus was tempted. The Bible says that then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to Him, He said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." In other words, in the wilderness where He was, there were stones. He said, "You command these stones be made bread." Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I'm sure He hungered. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." You know what? If them stones there that the devil's trying to tempt Him with could have testified, they'd have said, "Hey, God can guide you through the wilderness of temptation. God can cause you to overcome the evil one." If them stones could have cried out right now, they'd say, "Praise be to God. He got victory over the devil." Then the devil taketh Him up to the holy city and setteth Him on a pinnacle of the temple. In other words, a craggy place, a cleft place, a rocky place. And said unto Him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." Boy, if them stones could cry out. Look here. Jesus said unto Him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Them stones would cry out. You know what? Jesus got victory over the devil. There is victory in God's guidance, in God's ability to lead you through the wilderness of temptation. You may say, "Preacher, I can't make it. My flesh is too weak." Yeah, your flesh is too weak, but your soul being saved, He'll help you through it. Amen. Again, the devil taketh Him to an exceeding high mountain and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And He said unto Him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then said Jesus unto Him, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." If the stones on that mountain could cry out, they'd say, "Boy, the Lord has ability to guide you through the wilderness of temptation and cause you to come through it yet without sin. God can do that. If them stones could have cried out, they'd have cried out of God's guidance. You believe God can supernaturally, sovereignly guide you through temptation?
Amen.
Yes, He can. Over here in the book of John, chapter 2, we see this second truth. John, chapter 2. The first miracle that the Lord ever performed is in this chapter, John, chapter number 2. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I yet to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone. What about that? Water pots of stone. After the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. These stones, these 6 water pots of stone, were the stones of a groom and a bride at the marriage of Cana. I'm going to tell you what, you know how you'll have a happy marriage? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. They had no wine there. Wine represents joy. They had no wine. They had 6 water pots of stone. If them water pots of stone could cry out, they'd say, boy, let me tell you something. There was no joy at this wedding whatsoever. But when He said, fill up the water pots, or fill up them water pots with water, why, they went and dipped out of it, and the water was made into wine. You realize that you can take that old water pot and you can put your sin in it, and when you dump it out, He'll give you His salvation. You can put in your prayer request, He'll dump out His answers. You can put in your future, He'll give you His eternity. Hey man, I tell you what, you give your problems to the Lord and He'll give you a blessing in return. He'll solve all your issues. You need some provision, He's got the supply. Amen? He can take care of you. These are 6 water pots of stone for the groom and the bride. I'm telling you what, tonight, He is the groom and we are the bride. And I'm glad I don't need no stone crying out. I'm looking forward to the day when He comes to get His bride and take us home. Bless His name. What about John chapter 8? We see some stones again. John chapter 8. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again to the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and with His finger wrote on the ground, as though He heard them not. So when they continued asking Him, He lifted up Himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Can you imagine in their hands, them fellers, had taken that woman in the act of adultery? I wonder where the man was. It takes 2 to tango. There's somebody else in that same act, amen. They didn't bring, he's probably some of that same crowd standing there, had a stone in his. I believe they probably picked up stones in their hand and was ready to fling them at that woman there, taking an act of adultery. Jesus said, you without sin, cast the first stone. And I think one by one, they laid their stones down and they walked away. Boy, if them stones could cry out, They'd say, boy, I tell you what, he can take the guilty and pardon them. He can take the vilest sinner and wash you just as clean can be. Hey, you ought not to judge your neighbor, amen. Let Jesus judge things. And what he forgives, amen, it's forgotten and will never be brought up anymore. And I'm glad, amen, my sins, all the things that I've done, it's been so wicked, so rotten and so vile, is back in my past under the shed blood of Calvary, and Jesus has forgotten about it. And the stones would say, boy, I'm glad, ain't you, that Jesus is able to forgive sins. Amen. Bless his holy name for that. And I sure don't need no stone to stand up here and cry out about God's forgiveness, because the stone don't have it. I do. I know what it's like to be forgiven, amen, of horrible, horrible, heinous sins. What about in John chapter 11? Not only do we see the stones of the guilt being pardoned, well, what about John chapter 11? These stones at the grave of Lazarus. You remember that? Jesus said in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, that thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. I'm telling you what, it might not be nobody in that crowd wants to shout, but if that stone could say something, he'd say, hey, I had the dead covered up. And I'm telling you what, he stunk to high heaven. I had that stink covered up. But they rolled me away, and I rolled there, and I watched, and I heard Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. And I'm telling you what, I saw a miracle take place. A dead man walked out, and Jesus said, loose him and let him go. And I'm telling you what, if that crowd ain't got nothing to shout about, that Jesus has power over death, power to take the man that's dead in trespass and sin and cause him to live and breathe in his nostrils and save his soul, amen. The stone will say, hallelujah, I'll cry out about the power of God. I'm telling you what, if it don't excite you, the stone will cry out, amen. He said, I know what he did, I saw him. I'm telling you what, for all I know, you know, stones will be around for a long time. And for all I know, wherever that tomb was, that stone's still standing there saying, ooh, let me say something. Let me say something. And y'all want to doubt him? Y'all want to come and question his ability? Let me say something. I don't need no stone speaking about it. I can tell you, he calls me to live. I was there at Balfour that night when Jesus came through and saved my wretched soul and caused the dead to live. Hey, he did it again this morning right here in this church. He said, you take away the stone and I'll loose them. I mean, I'll raise them up and then you loose them and let them go. I'll save her soul. And you know what he did? He took death sentence that was on that young lady this morning and he said to death, loose her now and let her go. She's been saved. Hey, old sin, well, get away from her. She's been loosed and let go. Well, I'm telling you what, the stones in this parking lot could have cried out this morning. You won't cry out tonight and shout it out tonight. You may go out in a little bit and then say, hey, ask me what happened this morning. I heard all about it. Hallelujah. I don't need no stone crying out for me. What about in the book of Luke? No, over here in the book, where we just read. Luke chapter 19. Remember that? Remember that, Luke chapter 19? Where he came through riding. Let's go back to it. We just read it. Luke chapter 19. He come riding through there. Little stones laying all over the ground. People laying down their garments one by one, saying hallelujah to the king. I mean, how blessed, the Bible says, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Them old Pharisees coming through there said, you calm everybody down. You rebuke your disciples. Don't let that preacher get so excited. I mean, don't y'all get stirred up in your spirit. This ain't no big deal. I mean, somebody got saved this morning. That's a big deal. Happens all the time. And what don't happen all the time. No, it don't happen all the time. You calm them down. He said, I tell you that if these stones should hold their peace, I mean, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. One of them stones laying there says, you know what? These old Pharisees, hey, pick me. I'll tell you who that is. He's the one created me. And he'd testify, that stone would testify about the glory of the Son of God. Boy, you and I need to be testifying. He's a mighty God. Oh, what a glorious Savior that we serve. Amen. While we're here in the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 39, he went out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he knelt down and he prayed. There he is going into the Garden of Gethsemane. There are stones all around that area. Probably he knelt down right beside a stone there, and he began to pray, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. Can you see the stones there in the Garden of Gethsemane? There Jesus was praying, surrendering all his will to the Father's will. Not my will, but thy will be done, Father. That's what Jesus said. Why, preacher, what if that stone was to cry out about the will of God? I bet that old stone there in the garden, I bet it's still there. Everybody say, ooh, let me testify just for a minute. I've never seen someone under such a burden for sinners. He's praying for me. I never seen somebody where their sweat became as drops of blood. And I saw some of it as he was praying over me. Some of it oozed down and fell upon me there. I've never felt such. I'm going to tell you what if them stones could cry out about the will of God? I'm telling you what today, I'm glad to be in the will of God. I'm glad that the will of God has allowed me tonight to be in this place, that we might come here and praise his holy name for his power. Bless his name. What about back here in Matthew 27? Say, preacher, you're trying to rush. I'm just going as fast as he wants me to. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 35. This is our seventh point. We've seen, number one, the stones of God's guidance. Number two, the stones of the groom and the bride at the marriage of Cana. Number three, the stones of our guilt being pardoned. Number four, the stones at the grave of Lazarus. Number five, the stones of the glory that he had as he went through Jerusalem. Number six, the stones in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now number seven. Bible says in verse 33, when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him. You realize what Golgotha is? It ain't nothing but a great big piece of rock. And you look at it, it looks like a skull. We call it the top of Calvary. Golgotha is what it says. There they erected that cross and nailed Jesus to that place. There is the Son of God bleeding, shedding his blood, allowing it to drip and fall to the ground that our sins might be forgiven. You realize there's a night I got down that old altar and that same blood is on that cross. He sprinkled upon the mercy seat. He took me and washed my sins under that same blood. Right. If you pick that old rock up there at Golgotha, he'd say, let me tell you something. Been a lot of men crucified up here, some wicked, heinous men. But I'll never forget the day that my Creator, they nailed to a cross on top of me and his innocent blood fell on top of me. I'll never forget the day that Jesus' blood washed me either. Amen. I'll never forget that day. I'm telling you what, if I won't cry out about it, old Golgotha will cry out about it, amen. And I don't need no rock crying out about what he's done for me. I want to tell you, I'm saved by the glory of God, amen. Amen. And by his precious grace, by his shed blood. And I thank him for that. Amen. There's a stone up there on Golgotha they'd like to cry out. In fact, I believe that place upon Golgotha's hill, Calvary's hill, is the same place. It's some 2,000 years before that Abraham was going to a certain place and took his son Isaac and he laid him down there and drew back the knife ready to sacrifice his son. And the angel stopped him there and said, don't do your son no harm. You remember what Abraham had told Isaac as he's going up the mountain there when he said, hey, here's the knife and here's the wood and here's all. But where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Remember Abraham said God will provide himself a ram. A lamb. You realize that on the backside of that mountain, when he turned around, in there by his horns was a ram that Abraham would use to lift up Isaac off that altar and put that ram on that place. It was in that same place. Hear me? It was in that same place of Mount Moriah, Golgotha's Hill, a place called Calvary, that the Son of God, the Lamb of God, would one day lay his life down and shed his blood on top of that little rocky hill. I don't need no stone crying out for me. I know what he's done. Amen. And I bless his holy name. While you're here in the book of Matthew, go down to chapter 28. We see our next point, which is point number 8. Verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Shoo! Came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Well, you might not tell a whole lot. You might not want to praise him. But on that little cobblestone street up there, just down from where Golgotha is, there's a place called the Garden Tomb. It's a place where they laid our Lord and they rolled a stone in front of it to seal the door. But you know what happened? On the third day, praise God, Jesus got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. That old stone and say, wait. Y'all don't want to tell it, church? Let me praise him. I know good and well what happened. I was standing guard when it happened. I was watching right over him. There he laid, first day, second day, third day. But something happened. He got up. And I'm telling you, he didn't just get up with that same old body. He got up with a glorified body. I'm telling you what, he could have walked right out in spite of me. I wasn't holding him back. He could have walked right through me. But they rolled me back so that the rest of y'all could look in and get the view I got. And he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I don't need no stone telling that story for me. Hallelujah. I'm glad, amen, he's a risen Savior and I can praise him today. There's a stone at the Garden Tomb. It'll testify if you won't. Amen. I don't know how I keep as quiet as I do. Over here in the book of Acts, chapter 1, point number 9. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Jesus says in verse number 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now this is 40 days after his resurrection. He's still talking to his disciples. He's been walking through locked doors. Yet he's been eating honeycomb. And he's been eating fish. I don't understand how he could walk through locked doors. And right through an empty grave. He could walk right out of that tomb. Amen. With a glorified body. I don't understand it, but I believe it. Don't you? And there he is. He's speaking to him. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me. And both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And the disciples are just listening. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. They were on the top of Mount Olives, the Mount of Olives right there. It's a real rocky place. There they were. And while he's telling this, he just begins to lift right up off of the ground. Now I'm going to try to do that. I didn't get very far. I come back down. But he began to lift by the power of God and ascend right up into the Father. And a cloud received him right up out of their sight. Now them disciples, if they wouldn't tell it, there's a rock that'd say, ooh, pick me. I was watching it. I had a bird's eye view. He was standing on me. And I saw him how just go glory to God right up in the clouds there. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. That old stone would say, he gave us a guarantee. He's coming back. Same one that left here is coming back. You know what he's going to do? First thing he's going to do, he's going to rapture the church home. I don't need no stone telling nobody else about the rapture. Jesus is coming back for his bride and going to receive us home, amen. And 7 years we're going to be with him in heaven. And 7 years on earth, there's going to be tribulation. But at the end of that tribulation, Here comes the Lord riding with his armies. And the first thing he does, he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives. On that same rock. And that rock said, let me tell you what's going to happen. I know him. I'm going to crack right in two. And I can't wait to see my Creator come back. And Jesus is going to come back and defeat the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet and all his armies. I don't need no stone telling me that. Shouting about it, amen. The Lord's given me a guarantee. It's a promise. And he's as good as his word. I can shout about that stone, amen. What about Revelation chapter number 2? Point number 10. Say, preacher, this is the last one good. Well, I like this one right here. This one's one of my favorites. Revelation chapter 2. We realize this is John on the Isle of Patmos. He's writing a letter to the seven churches. As the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ himself, has inspiring him to write. He's just writing under the influence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's writing. He's been writing here to different churches. And I think with all my heart that every one of these churches, we have characteristics in the Bethel Baptist Church and in the body of Christ all across the world. There are characteristics of these different seven churches right amongst us. Yes, there is. Look what he says. Well, this just jumps out and grabs me in verse number 17. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, that means to the saved one. To him that overcomes the enemy, like Brother Gene was singing about. To him that overcomes the enemy by the blood of Jesus Christ, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And will give him a what? Stone. Interesting phrase. And in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving him that receiveth it. He will give him a white stone. You know what he's promising you and me? He's going to give us a white stone. Well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. In the Old Testament economy, when there was a trial going on, and when they came back with a verdict of not guilty, they would give that one who had been found innocent a white stone, saying that you have been acquitted, that you've been pardoned. My trial was back there at Calvary. When I got saved, amen, he took all those things that was against me and washed me in the shed blood and he cleansed me. And the old devil's trying, he's trying his best to get a court case. And he's got a bunch of evidence. And he comes up to the judge and he says, hey, that boy Darren's done this and this and this and a whole list of stuff. I can just see all the pages now. But my advocate, my lawyer stands up and says, judge up, father. I gave my life on Calvary's cross for him and shed my blood. And back there on July the 13th, 1978, he bowed his head, a little old sinner boy, and I saved him. It's been a lot of times he's sinned since then, father. And I don't know what sin that this devil's talking about because all of it's been forgiven by my shed blood. Amen. And the father reaches out with a white stone and says, case dismissed. And he gives me the white stone of absolution, amen, of pardon. Bless his name, amen, for the stone of grace that I'm going to be given, amen. I don't need that old stone cried out for me, amen. I'm going to say, wow, hallelujah. I've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And in that stone, my Bible says, that I'll have a new name written, which no man knows. Preacher, what does that mean? Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. It's a family name. That's my new name by adoption. I ain't a Waldrop anymore. Woo! I don't have a sin nature, amen. Once I get to glory, I've been pardoned and I've got a new name. In fact, I can show you it's a family matter over here in Revelation chapter 19. Go there with me. We'll try to close right here. Revelation chapter 19. Here Jesus is coming back like we said before in verse 11. I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written. A what? A name. I told you I was going to be given a name. But no, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. What is that name? I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't know what it is. but it's a family name. You see, I'm taking after the Father. I've got a new name that no man knows, and so does he. I like it when you get in the family. Amen. There's Bubba and cousin such and such. We got little pet. He's got pet names for all of us. Now, the Lord told me to do this. If these rocks was to cry out, all these things, boy, I'm telling you what, we'd have church, amen. You look out there, there's a lot of rocks in this parking lot, amen. Ain't a lot of them. But I look in here, there's a lot of saved people in here.
Amen.
I don't need no rock crying out for me.
Right.
I want to testify about His grace and about the gospel and about His goodness and about Golgotha and about that stone that was rolled up there, that garden tomb that was rolled. I want to testify about all them things. I just don't do a good enough job. I really don't. The Lord told me, said, I want you, when you get to church tonight, I want you to go out there to the parking lot, and I want you to pick up 50 stones. And I got them boys, and I said, boys, you come out here and help me get 50 stones. He told me, set them down right there. Some of your family's lost, going to hell. These stones represent grace and salvation. Our sin being pardoned. And their sins haven't been pardoned yet because they've not got saved yet. God said, you go down there and pick up them stones. You stand up there and tell them. If they'd just get up by faith and get them. Bound this altar and pray. And then we're going to take them. Now, you know, we're going to take them. And we're going to put them in the foundation of that building over there. That God would save their soul. And I pray they'd get saved before we ever get over yonder. We're going to put them in the foundation when they get ready to pour. In fact, I've got somewhere just exactly where I know these stuff. And you know what? I said, Lord, I thought 50. What is 50? Too many. God said, there's more stones outside. They're going to need some of them. More than 50. More than 50. Preacher, I don't believe you. If these stones could cry out, they'd tell you He's able to do the impossible. He's able to do the unthinkable. And tonight, I'm just going to believe. You stand with me. I've done what I was supposed to do. This represents so-and-so. This represents so-and-so. Tell him. Devil said, that won't work. That's crazy. It's all right. Devil said a lot of things about them stones, and them stones still crying out to this day. Man, I hope we run out. Hallelujah. I can't wait to go outside and get it. Well, preacher, what if God said get two? Then you get two, bless God.